Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. Normally, I would have a guest in the studio, but I don't have a guest in the studio today. But as many of you already know, I've been a proponent of the magnetically levitated transportation system. Now, the magnetically levitated transportation system was originally, it's a very old idea, it goes back at least a century, but it was never built and it was never refined until 1960 when two inventors from Brookhaven National Laboratories, Drs. Gordon Demby and James Powell, created this, the modern invention. And of course, there was an adaptation of that that went into a German design, and that went into, that was actually built in China. In fact, I've been on that maglev. It's a very, very quiet machine, and it was very fast. That one topped out at 274 miles an hour. The Japanese built a plan, a maglev that was more like the design that we now have in the American maglev design. It is even faster. Yeah, they've had that hit top speed of 375 miles an hour, and that was kind of recent. That was within the last couple of weeks. Well, as fast as these things go, they don't really have to go fast. In fact, we think that there'll be a really big market for them on Long Island. And recently, there was a proposal to electrify a link bringing Ronkonkoma Rail out to Riverhead. And they estimated that that would cost about $19 million a mile. Well, in fact, you can convert Long Island Railroad tracks to maglev for less than half of that. And the beauty of that is that all of the accidents that we have seen in the last few years, the Metro North derailment, and the one with the catenaries were broken in Connecticut, and that after that derailment, I believe people died on that one too, but I'm not sure offhand. But in any case, that was an accident that could have happened. And then more recently, there was an accident where a woman was locked into the gates on a track. And that was an accident that would have been totally avoidable also with a magnetically levitated train. And the reason why that would have been impossible to happen is because the line of sight on that one was about 800 feet or more. Well, at the speed it was going, I believe it was 80 miles an hour, you could stop that train in about 300 feet. So that train operator would have been able to stop that train before it hit the car. In the case of the derailment in Connecticut, that wouldn't have happened either because the magnetic forces on the track are always keeping the vehicle off the track in any case. So it doesn't tend to derail. It can take 125 miles an hour side wind to just and still remain on the track. So that wouldn't have happened. And then, of course, the subsequent accident that happened with the catenaries breaking, that didn't happen. It wouldn't have happened either because there are no catenaries. Everything is in the ground. So the one upstate on Metro North, that couldn't have happened because everything is automated, and the automated systems would have reduced the speed of the train before it got into the curve. So none of those accidents would have happened had we been using this technology. But the aggravating thing about all of this is that it is actually an inexpensive system to operate. It's fractional amount of electricity compared to what we would do with a normal electric train. And of course, the reason for that is because it floats on a magnetic field, and it doesn't have much resistance. And the way to understand that is that if you've ever been out on a boat and you're on the dock and you drag the boat along the dock, well, the boat could weigh 10,000 pounds, but you can easily move that boat along the dock with very little trouble. Now, that boat has a certain amount of resistance to drag because it's in water, but the train would have virtually no resistance to drag on air, on a magnetic field. And that is why it takes so little energy to get this thing moving. So as a practical matter, it would work very, very well, and it doesn't have to be going fast. One of the big features of the magnetically levitated train is that it does go very fast. And its theoretical top speed is thousands and thousands of miles an hour. In fact, we know that in a vacuum tube, we can easily get it up to 18,000 miles an hour. And by the way, 18,000 miles an hour is fast enough to break the magnetic ties of the Earth's atmosphere, which means we can launch rockets without having a rocket fuel, and which is another application I'll talk about some other time. But it's an amazing technology with its amount of uses that we have for it, including mining, and we can use it in subways, we can use it across country, we can use it for energy storage, which is a whole nother topic, and I'm not going to get into that today. What I think we ought to talk about today is the use of it on Long Island. Now, we have a link that's going out to Ronkonkoma from Ronkonkoma to Riverhead, and that they would like to electrify. And we feel that the cost of electrification being at $18 million a mile, we can do that two-track system for less than $12 million a mile. Now, that does mean you'd still have to buy the cars, which are a few million dollars a piece, but they're no more expensive than the conventional cars that we're buying right now. And that would mean buying additional cars that we don't have now. But all of the things that goes into this maglev train can be built right here on Long Island, particularly in the conversion of Long Island Railroad. Once we get into the heavy-duty trusses that you will need crossing the country, that probably can't be built here. Probably be built closer to the points where it's going to be used, whether that be in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Nevada, wherever it goes across the country, it probably pays to build it right there instead of building it here. But the small parts, the intricate electronics, the things that open up the doors and close the doors, and the induced current instruments that take the magnetic fields that are coming up from behind, underneath the car, convert it to electricity and give you electric lights and air conditioning, those all could be made right here on Long Island. It would create a tremendous amount of jobs. And one of the reasons why I have been promoting this technology is not only because it has a very useful operational aspect to it, but it's a foundation for many, many jobs in electronics and in switching devices of all kinds. So when we look at it from that point of view, we have the wherewithal to create the jobs because we have those kind of scientific institutions here on Long Island, particularly at Brookhaven National Laboratories, where they're always developing energy-efficient devices. And speaking of energy-efficient devices, the Energy Research Center at Stony Brook is coming out with a myriad of things that can be used in the vehicle itself. And that would be another resource for us so that we can produce just about everything that goes into the vehicle itself except and including the carcass of the vehicle, because that's going to be made out of composites. We have companies right here on Long Island that are building airplane wings and out of composites. So it would be an easy transition for them to start building the framework and the shell of the maglev train. And of course, the insides of the train would be upholsteries and things like that. I don't know where they would be built, but they could be built anywhere and brought into the area and assembled here and into those vehicles. So that's the big aspect of it. And I'll be talking more about that in the next segment, and how and the exact way it would function on a railroad track. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on Long Island News Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.